Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. In the last episode, the boys rescued Bogard, but their adventure is not over yet. What does he have in store for the three in this episode? Let's find out.
So we start out Chapter 7, and Killian is surprised that these guys did not die.
Yes.
Because they are, I'm not going to say complete fuck-ups.
But they're complete fuck-ups.
They kind of are. But she has to go down to get... What'd she have to get?
I'm trying to remember. I think she might have been trying to retrieve her supplies, like her crossbow and stuff.
From Brian?
Yeah, and so okay. Magnus is basically saying, like, what's going on? I don't understand. And she goes, I will tell you literally the moment that I can tell you. So it's clear that she's not... It's not her controlling the static.
Yes. So she hits herself with a feather duster, which is a slow fall spell, to go down to the bottom of the pit to get all of her stuff. And when I say slow fall, I mean slow.
It's like
fall.
Awkwardly slow. They're just watching her, and they're like, okay.
Yeah. So she's telling them to stay here. She'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Don't fuck anything up. And then we can go about the mission.
But unfortunately, they then pick up Bogard, who basically explains what he's doing there.
Which is, he's trying to open up this vault that is part of his family lineage, or his family heritage.
Essentially, I'll skip ahead a little bit past this next scene, because the next scene is probably one of my favorite things in it.
Yes.
But his father... There was a group of, like, bandits, I believe, coming to rob the caves and destroy the caves because there was this vault in there that contained, like, amazing weapons and glorious mm-hmm. riches and stuff like that. And his father locked himself in there with all of the riches, and basically to protect them from the marauders. And so now he's coming to get what he considers his family birthright.
Yes. Okay.
But before we do that, they find a what looks just to be like an old skeleton wearing this red hooded robe, and in its hand is a weapon that even the like text in the book describes as just question marks. They have no idea what it is, and it's an umbrella. So Merle tries to grab it and is immediately shot across the room with a powerful burst of magic. And then Taco's like, all right, my go. I'll have a go at this.
And I love it. Magnus is like, wait a minute. Let me paint you a picture of what just happened. Merle grabs it, gets blasted across the room, takes damage, and you go, my turn, and just go for it?
I live like I'm dying, big man. And then he grabs it, and then just like Link grabbing the Sword of Time or whatever, just lifts it up, and like sparks are shooting everywhere. This is like the scene at Harry Potter where the wand finally chose him. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then he just kind of, boop, flips open and it's an umbrella.
So I have an umbrella.
And okay. The only power that is not disguised through question marks is, well, it's good at rebuffing rain, so.
It's extremely magical. That's the nature of the device. We get the story. That you just said of Bogard's parentage.
Merle does cast his infamous Zone of Truth.
Yep. I like that Griffin tells him you should probably do it under your breath. So he sneezes the Zone of Truth. Which is
but
great.
Unfortunately, the very first thing is, did you cast some sort of magic spell on me? Yes, I cast Zone of Truth, which forces you to only say true statements. No one within the area of effect can resist its power, including yourself. Including my saw, damn it. And so while he's telling like the story of what's going on, Taco is also freaking out. Like, I stole a bunch of gold. We stole the magic loafers. We've done it all.
And I like how Taco's freaking out, but Magnus just like, yep, it's what we did.
Yeah.
This is whatever. Okay, we get the story. We get Bogard, you know, slicing up pricking his hand and opening up the vault. And when they get into the vault, there is nothing there.
It is a plane of like pure black glass, and then in mm-hmm. the center of it appears to be just like a dwarven form in charcoal, like just frozen in charcoal, with a metal glove on its hand.
The hand is raised up, just like outstretched.
Which Magnus unfortunately interprets to mean that it's calling for a high five. So he just goes, yep. "I won't leave you hanging, bro." Runs up, hits it, and just in a burst of flame, just sets his hand on fire.
As they are bandaging Magnus up, Killian comes in and just starts yelling at them. And
basically saying, like, why didn't you wait for me? And they're like, you took like 4 hours. I was gone a few minutes.
Tells them not to, well, she says,
oh, yeah.
Hope none of you guys tried to high five that thing.
Oh, no, no one went. Actually, they're like, are we still in Zone of Truth? Oh, no, that's in the other room. Yeah, none of us did then.
Nope, God, no. No. What ends up happening is Killian can't say. She tries to talk about the glove.
Yes.
But this is where the static happens.
Yes, the static cuts through again.
And so she is doing what she can. She can't really. She's trying to convince everybody, Bogard included, not to mess with the glove. And but Bogard's like, this is my father's legacy.
This is my birthright. Yeah.
Yeah. So he grabs the glove and he puts it on, which immediately starts to burn him. Only instead of killing him, he gets a shit ton of power.
He just becomes super powerful. It's like, I feel pretty. Oh, so pretty and witty and... no, I feel powerful. And then he's now become Fiery Bogard, whose proficiency is he's on fire. That's about it.
Killian tries to attack him real quick, but with her crossbow. But Bogard, easily destroys the arrow.
Yes, and can't then full shit. On Johnny storms out like a huge ball of fire shooting out.
Killian then convinces the three of them that they have to go after him.
Yes, like this to awesome, stop him. This awesome monologue of like, I've got to stop him before he destroys the whole world, and I'm going to need your help to do it. Don't get me wrong, this is way above your pay grade. Your chances of surviving are slim to none, but you're all I've got. Are you down?
They all look at each other.
Sure, why the hell not?
That ends the seventh chapter.
Yep, and that leads into chapter 8.
Mm-hmm. As we begin this chapter, they come out of the cave, or Magnus says that I've got a proficiency in tracking, but Bogard left a nice burned trail on the ground that they don't really need a tracker.
Yes,
all they
it's
can
almost
do is just
like
follow the trail.
It is literally just burned into the ground.
Yep.
And then there's a whole page that is just, or it's a half panel, that's just like a map on the ground of him going through burning up cornfields, drying up ponds, scaring bunnies.
It's the old,
upsetting
it's
a board.
It's the old family circus thing
until he eventually gets to Haverdale.
Yep. And they were able to deduce that he was going after Barry.
Yes.
Probably because Barry didn't, guard him well enough. So they rushed to where Barry was at, which was at that bar, the Three Sisters bar.
Yes.
And they're standing out as Barry comes rushing out of the bar. And
yes, and like a burst of flame over his head.
Mm-hmm. And as they're standing there, getting ready to basically make a plan, Bogard comes rushing out, and this is where we get Merle trying to talk him down.
Yeah, like probably the most genuine emotion, because Barry explains, like, I've never seen him like this. We need to calm him down and get the gauntlet off of him. That's what we have to do.
Mm-hmm. And so he does what he can, and he almost, in a very Thanos getting the Infinity Gauntlet off of him moment of Infinity War.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We have Barry trying to hold Bogard down, similar to Star-Lord hitting Thanos and
fucking
everything up.
Because, like, Merle has him. Merle is just like, look, our aunt, our aunt wouldn't have wanted you to be like this. And he's like, I miss her a whole lot. And he's talking him down, talking him down. And then Barry just leaps on him and tries to pull off the gauntlet. And then he just goes crazy. Go nuts, go crazy. Flips Barry off of him. He is now, he's no longer a human. He is a wildfire of a person.
Yep, and he basically turns Barry into ash.
Yes.
And
cut back to, I think it was like a few episodes ago, where he just said, look, it would be worse for my business if I were dead. And I was like, Barry, if you only knew, my boy, if you only knew.
Killian is telling them that they have to go. It's time to go. They gotta get out. They just have to run.
Well, specifically, she's pointing to a well, because the well would take them underground below where the fire would be. Taco immediately goes, but Merle and Magnus, of course, Magnus being the heroic gentleman he is trying his best to get everybody to escape and get everybody out there.
Yes. He's doing what he can. I mean, they start yelling, but it's kind of too late. Like,
yes. Well, not only that.
The whole town's on fire. Every house is on fire.
Yeah, well, not only that, there's that beautiful, like, few panels, and it's reminiscent of a scene that happens later in the podcast where Taco reaches out and grabs both of them by the arms, and you kind of see them all come together as a trio as they get pulled down into the well and then immediately just fall on top of Killian, who was fine because she feather-falled, but did not expect Trace Horny Boys to fall down on top of them.
Not just fall, like, come crashing onto her.
Uh-huh.
Which knocks her out.
Yes.
Like, she's knocked out. They're at the bottom, all four of them are at the bottom of the well, as Bogard ultimately blows up.
Yes, essentially, yeah. And the final page of the chapter is gorgeous, because it's just this hole where you can see the top of the well and all the flames shooting past it. And then at the top, you've got the four people at the bottom just illuminated by the fire and their reactions to what they're seeing.
Well, the final page of this chapter is just the well itself.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's dark. And, I mean, this is beautiful in itself. You've got the ash kind of falling down the well. The three of them, the Trey Horny Boys, looking up and just, like, they don't say anything, but you know that shit went wrong.
It's just like, a single, shaft of light in the middle of a dark black page with them at the bottom of it looking up. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's amazing. And that's how we end this chapter.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you enjoyed listening to Scotty, you can check out his many, many podcasts on his website, aloadofpurebs.com. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Adventure Zone story.